The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latchoff from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. Let's jump right on in with this one from Martha Stewart Living, How to Plant a Container Tree. And there are five easy steps. First, find a location. Check the requirements for your variety. Does it need light or prefer shade? Will it require a moist or dry area? Then, before breaking out your shovel, call 811 to make sure you won't hit any power lines in your chosen spot. 2. Give it room to grow. With a sharp shovel, dig a hole about twice as wide and deep as the size of the pot and loosen the surrounding soil. Clear any large rocks. Add water to the bottom. 3. Remove the sapling. Loosen the edges of the container and gently slide the tree out. Break apart the roots with your hands or slice an X through the root ball with a knife. 4. Put it into position. Follow the guideline, bare to the flare. The root flare or collar, the place where the roots start to spread out from the trunk, should be flush with the soil line. Add a mixture of compost and soil to reach that height. Then place the tree in the hole, making sure it's straight, and backfill. Lightly tamp down the soil to remove air pockets. Then mulch and hydrate. Give your newly planted tree a long drink of water, then top with a couple of inches of mulch, leaving several inches of the space right around the trunk bare to prevent rot. For the first few months, leave a hose running directly on the spot for about 10 minutes once a week. Next from Real Simple, the short list. What should I read next? Top picks for every taste. First, a witty rom-com. Lucy is a 40-something white mother of two. Joseph, a 22-year-old black aspiring DJ. When they meet at the London butcher shop where Joseph works, they're caught off guard by their feelings for each other and nearly as baffled by their awkward courtship as their wide-eyed friends and family are. The book, Just Like You, by Nick Hornby, H-O-R-N-B-Y, is a sweet and funny testament to the wonderful things that happen when you allow yourself to follow your heart. Next, a memoir with a message, Once I Was You, is the book. A candid, timely autobiography by Emmy Award-winning journalist and NPR anchor Maria Hinojosa, H-I-N-O-J-O-S-A. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Drawing on her Mexican family's relocation to the U.S. and her experience in media, Hinojosa tells the searing story of how our immigration policy came to be and what it means for every single American. Intimate and unflinching, this memoir is packed with teachable moments. Next, a juicy crime novel. Rebecca Farwell is leading a double life. In Pearson, Illinois, she's Becky, the diligent kind of dull town treasurer who lives alone in her family's farmhouse. But her creative number crunching with the town's money funds her alter ego's obsession for acquiring art. As Reba, she's a champagne-sipping, couture-wearing shark who's made millions in the art scene in New York and Chicago. Inspired by a true story, Emily Gray Tedrow's book, and I'll spell her last name, T-E-D-R-O-W-E. The book, The Talented Miss Farwell, is a read-it-to-believe-it page-turner about a con artist whose luck can't last. And next, a time travel tale, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue is the title. A fantasy novel by B.E. Schwab, that's V.E. Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B. A young woman in 18th century France escapes an arranged marriage by making a bargain with the devil for the ultimate freedom. She'll be immortal, but no one she meets will ever remember her. Then one day in a bookstore, after 300 years of loneliness, she meets a man who recognizes her. Everything changes, revealing just how much we need connection after all. And last, a twisty thriller. This chilling, clever mystery begins where most suspense stories end, with the escape. When a woman flees the windowless shack where she's been held captive, she says she's Lena, who disappeared almost 14 years ago. She even has the distinctive scar to prove it. But her parents insist she's not their missing daughter. The Deliciously Creepy Dear Child by Romy Hausmann, Hausmann, is deftly crafted and keeps you guessing until the very last page. Next, from Good Housekeeping, Election 2020, The Mini Majority. When politics get ugly, you may want to shield your child from the process altogether, but don't miss this opportunity to teach kids how to become smart at the ballot box and beyond. When it comes to politics, kids understand a lot more than you think. Even preschoolers may have a vague sense that a political world exists and is split into two groups, notes Jill S. Greenlee, Ph.D., an associate professor of politics and women's gender and sexuality studies at Brandeis University. But that's a good thing. Their intense focus on fairness opens the door to conversations about justice and equality, according to Aaron Polke, Ph.D., an associate professor of psychology at Whitman College. As children reach school age, they can grasp some concrete political details, but their thinking tends to be black and white. Plus, there's a fair amount of individual variability in terms of what kids know, says Megan Patterson, Ph.D., an associate professor of educational psychology at the University of Kansas. Some 8-year-olds can't name the presidential candidates, she notes, while others can explain the Electoral College. And the rate at which a child moves from a limited political understanding to a nuanced one depends on the scaffolding they get from adults. But no matter what age your child is, you can talk to them about political issues in language they'll understand. Our experts voted yes to these guidelines. First, explain the difference between people and offices. It's important to be explicit with kids that even if we don't like a specific official, we can still value and respect the institution. Talk about good and bad ideas, not good and bad people, says Greenlee, whose research shows that children can distinguish between the presidency and the president by fourth grade. Children also need to be told directly that in most cases, holding a different viewpoint or belonging to a different group than another person doesn't make you enemies, says Judith A. Myers-Walls, Ph.D., a professor emerita of human development and family studies at Purdue University. A difference of opinion doesn't necessitate demonizing someone else. Next, keep a positive tone. The American Psychological Association says it can be unsettling for kids to witness the full brunt of adults' political anxiety or anger. Instead of railing against an idea you don't like, bring up the concept of checks and balances. Say things such as, our democracy is set up so lots of people are involved in making decisions, says Laura Markham, Ph.D., author of Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids. I'll spell her last name, M-A-R-K-H-A-M, in case you were interested in the book. Teach children to avoid negative partisanship, an approach to political decision-making that emphasizes voting against an opponent's side rather than for causes one believes in. Check your own snide comments and eye rolls, and when you encounter negativity in the political realm, call it out. Next, teach kids to think critically. Children need to know they can't take everything they hear about politics at face value. Introduce them to political cartoons, the role of social media, and the impact of polls on campaigns. Tell kids that fear-mongering and heartstring pulling are tried-and-true election strategies used in ads and speeches. When you watch an interview or a debate together, call it out when a candidate doesn't answer the question. Then point out bad behavior. It's important to support the principle of free speech, but when kids see unsavory public discourse, they learn that adults are not actually serious when they tell them they should be kind, Markham says. The lesson? Being disrespectful is no more okay for famous people than for us, or for one political party than for the other. Next, discuss their opinions. Ask kids open-ended questions like, what are your friends saying about the election? What have you heard adults saying? Normalize talking about politics. Myers-Walls says to show kids that it isn't a taboo subject. Equip them to have tough conversations by offering examples of what to say when chit-chat turns political, says Markham, who suggests this. It's okay for people to have different opinions about things. You're my friend, and that's what matters most to me. Another tack? I wonder what our parents would say about this. Do you think they could help us find the facts together? Make sure kids know that if all else fails, they should simply walk away from confrontational situations. Next, help them hone their own views. When you talk to kids about political issues, encourage them to try to understand opinions from both sides, but don't be afraid to explain your own beliefs. If they take a stance that makes you uncomfortable, look up relevant information together. And last, show them other ways to be a good citizen. If you want kids to participate in civic life without getting wrapped up in politics, look into volunteering. Getting involved with a cause can be transformational at any age, but for kids, it's particularly powerful as their canvases are still being painted, says Laura Plato, Chief Solutions Officer at Volunteer Match, which pairs people with volunteering opportunities. Volunteering exposes us to situations, points of view, and communities we might not normally encounter, and that may help instill a sense of interconnectedness and empathy that becomes a through line in our lives. And some suggestions for getting kids engaged, some resources to help you start important conversations with future voters. First, for elementary schoolers, the book Vote by Eileen Christelow, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L-O-W. This will teach them everything they'll need to know about elections in a colorful, kid-friendly format, available for $10 at booksellers. And the book Running for Middle and High Schoolers by Natalia Sylvester, S-Y-L-V-E-S-T-E-R. When 15-year-old Mary's father runs for president, their family comes under intense scrutiny. Mary has to find her own voice and the courage to stand up for what she believes in. It's available for $18 at booksellers. And for game night, Election Night. Learn about the Electoral College by playing out the race in your living room. It's for ages 8 and up, $40 from SemperSmartGames.com. That's SemperSmartGames.com. Fall Flare. Beautyberry is an easygoing shrub that truly sparkles during the cooler months. Here are some eye-catching varieties to grow at home. As its common name implies, Calicarpa or beautyberry stands out quite beautifully this time of year when its branches pop with amethyst or pearly white ornamental berries. It's an all-star plant, but not one that many people know, says Adam Wheeler, horticultural manager at Broken Arrow Nursery in Camden, Connecticut. He suggests planting it in a spot with well-drained, evenly moist soil and ample light. It grows fine in part shade, but produces more flowers and fruit in full sun. Prune shrubs to just 18 inches high in early spring if they start to look messy. The rejuvenating haircut will lead to a tidier plant and even more berries later. Number one, in spring, the leaves of Calicarpa dichotoma, or spring gold, emerge yellow, then turn a vivid green before maturing to a golden hue in fall and bursting with violet berries. Two, the compact C. japonica Leucocarpa displays a profusion of pale fruit, which can discolor after a freeze and thaw cycle. Three, as its name suggests, C. japonica heavy berry produces copious clusters of plum-colored berries after its tiny but fragrant flowers bloom in summer. I think that's the one I have in my yard. Four, a newer cultivar, C. dichotoma variation Alba fructus duet, has an upright, rounded silhouette with small wide-edged leaves and tiny ivory fruit. That's pretty even when it doesn't have berries. Five, you'll smell the graceful, sweetly scented flowers of dichotoma early amethyst before you see it. It also is one of the first to produce fruit starting in late summer. And six, lightly dotted with delicate bright purple berries, the rare C. dichotoma splashy sports leaves that look as if they're splattered with creamy paint. And then there's one more, I guess, that's not numbered. The native C. americana is a pollinator's paradise. Birds love to nest in its arching branches and snack on the fruits which cling, as with all beauty berries, long after the leaves fall off. From Real Simple, the essential checked blazer. Not every wardrobe staple needs to be a solid. This double-breasted pick is versatile enough for so many fall looks. If you have or want to get a checked blazer, here are a couple of different ways to wear it. First, add a turtleneck and jeans. Wear it unbuttoned and the blazer becomes a casual jacket. Toss it on over a bright sweater and jeans for an all-day or scratch that all-weekend look. Another option, add a pleated skirt. Tattersall? Check. Gingham? Check. Yes, you can mix your plaids and bring back the 80s power look in the best way with silky fabric, ruffles, and pleats. Don't be surprised if Let the River Run plays in your head on repeat. And the last option, add a maxi dress and pumps. Just as warm as a shawl, but with much chillier vibes, the pattern jacket gives an understated black dress and nude pumps a chic twist for crisp autumn evenings. From Better Homes and Gardens, Best in Body. Stay soft, moist, and comfortable with these moisturizing and cleansing superstars. First, camellia oil and rose essence lend a delicate scent to richly hydrating Jergens Rose Body Butter, $6 at Walmart. Make an ordinary morning shower feel indulgent with this nourishing mango-scented cleanser, Dove Glowing Body Wash, $6 at Target. Number 3, physical and chemical exfoliants work together to soften dry, rough skin. Strivectin Crepe Control Exfoliating Body Rub, $35 at strivectin.com. 4, even frequent hand washing won't parch your skin thanks to hemp seed rich in vitamin E and omega fatty acids. Burt's Bees Hemp Hand Cream, $9 at burtsbees.com, and a lot of drugstores carry Burt's Bees items as well. 5, a lightly scented, non-drying hand soap in a recyclable, sustainable package that uses up to 50% less plastic than average. My Curie by Kao Hand Wash. That's K-A-O, hand wash. $18 at mycurie.com, M-Y-K-I-R-E-I.com. And last, apply Olay Rinse Off Body Conditioner, like body wash, to skip the post-shower lotion. Shea butter, coconut oil, or vitamin E. Hydrate deeply. $6 at Target. From Good Housekeeping, how to soothe dry, itchy eyes. Tears are more than just the product of a good cry. They're a mix of water, fatty oils, and mucus that nourishes and protects your eyes from infection. When you have blurred vision, light sensitivity, or stinging and burning, it feels as if you're staring at the Sahara. That's dry eye, in which you don't make enough tears. The condition affects millions of people each year, more women than men, especially at times when hormones may be fluctuating, such as during pregnancy or menopause. Here's how to find relief. First, try eye drops. They contain lubricants that supplement natural tears and help eyes retain moisture. Pro tip, you can use them anytime your eyes feel scratchy, but putting them in before you sit down in front of a screen can help prevent irritation. 2, blink consciously. You naturally flutter your eyes less when using a device, reducing tear dispersal. Blink mindfully and often, during breaks and while waiting for downloads or watching commercials, says Stephanie Mariano, MD, a clinical spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. And 3, avoid air that's blowing. Don't sit near vents, fans, or air conditioning units, and don't go out when it's too windy. Air hitting your face evaporates tears. See a doctor if dry eye doesn't improve with the above changes. They can prescribe medication to help your eyes make tears that supplement your own natural tears, says Angie Nguyen, MD, a cornea specialist at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary of Mount Sinai in New York City. If you have eye pain, redness, discharge, or blurry vision, which may signal a more serious issue, she says, make an appointment and keep it. From Better Homes and Gardens, serving up energy. Keeping plenty of pep in your step has a lot to do with what you eat. We've got a lineup of easy recipes packed with energizing nutrients to fuel your day. We start with a couple of breakfast options. First, oat and millet porridge with pear and walnuts. Pulse 2/3 of a cup rolled oats and 1/3 of a cup millet in a blender until it resembles coarse meal. Transfer to a medium saucepan with 1 cup milk, 2.5 cups water, 1/4 teaspoon cardamom, and a pinch of salt. Bring to a boil. Simmer covered 15 minutes, stirring regularly. Add a medium pear, chopped. Cook 5 minutes or until grains are tender. Top with 1 tablespoon chopped walnuts and a drizzle of maple syrup. And that serves 2 to 3. How about an egg taco? In a large skillet, heat 1 tablespoon olive oil over medium-high. Add 1 cracked egg, 1 corn tortilla, and a handful of kale or spinach in different sections of the skillet. Cook until the egg is over easy. Greens are wilted and tortilla is crisped. Put egg and kale in the tortilla, season to taste. Top with slices of avocado and hot sauce. And this serves 1. For lunch, how about an apple and almond butter panini? Heat a waffle iron and coat with nonstick cooking spray. Spread 1.5 tablespoons almond butter over 2 slices whole wheat bread. Top 1 slice with a drizzle of honey, a dash of cinnamon, and a 1/4 cup diced apple. Close sandwich, place in a waffle iron and heat until crispy and brown. And this serves 1. And another option, sweet potato quesadilla. Mash 1 small cooked sweet potato, spread over 1 whole wheat flour tortilla. Top with 1/3 cup black beans and 1/2 cup shredded sharp cheddar cheese. Top with another tortilla. Cook on medium-high in a large skillet coated with 1 tablespoon olive oil until cheese melts and tortillas are browned. Cut into wedges. And this serves 1 to 2. Couple of high-energy snacks. First, guac with veggies. In a small bowl, combine 1 medium avocado, 2 teaspoons lime juice, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Smash with a fork until fairly smooth. Serve with 1 cup crunchy vegetables such as carrot, yucama, and cucumber. Serves 1 to 2. Or an orange vanilla smoothie. Blend 1 cup milk, 2 peeled and sectioned navel oranges, 2 teaspoons vanilla, 2 teaspoons honey, and 6 ice cubes in a blender until frothy and smooth. For a boost of nutrients, add 1 cup loosely packed baby spinach and blend again. And this serves 2. Or last, a chocolate cashew energy shake. Blend 1.5 cups milk, 1 banana, 1/2 cup fresh or frozen cauliflower florets, 2 tablespoons cocoa powder, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 2 tablespoons cashew butter or peanut butter, and 4 ice cubes in a blender until frothy and smooth. For a caffeine boost, add 1 or 2 shots espresso and blend. And this serves 2. From Real Simple, the staple, peanut butter. Open a jar, run a knife through the smooth surface, and take a whiff of that nutty goodness. This is the stuff childhood memories are made of. And while there's no shame, only joy, in a squishy PB&J, don't pigeonhole this protein and fiber-rich smear. They have 3 quick ideas. First, peanut butter ramen. Whisk 3 tablespoons creamy peanut butter, 2 tablespoons soy sauce, 1.5 tablespoons gochujang, I don't know what that is, or sriracha, and 1 tablespoon toasted sesame oil in a large heat-proof bowl. Cook 9 ounces ramen noodles. Drain, reserving 1/3 cup of the cooking water. Transfer noodles and cooking water to peanut butter mixture and toss to coat. Serve topped with chopped peanuts, sliced scallions, torn cilantro, and lime wedges. How about peanut butter blondies? Stir together 1 1/3 cups flour, 1 teaspoon baking powder, and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Whisk 2 eggs, 1 egg yolk, 1 1/3 cups brown sugar, 2/3 cup peanut butter, 1/2 cup melted butter, and 1/2 teaspoon vanilla in a separate bowl. Fold flour mixture and 1/2 cup chopped peanuts into the butter mixture. Spread in a greased 9-inch square baking dish lined with parchment. Sprinkle with 1/4 teaspoon flaky sea salt. Bake at 350 degrees until just set, 24 to 28 minutes. And a PB&J overnight oats. Whisk 1 3/4 cups almond milk, 1/2 cup plain Greek yogurt, 3 tablespoons peanut butter, 1 tablespoon honey, and 1/2 teaspoon vanilla. Stir in 1.5 cups rolled oats and 2 tablespoons chia seeds. Spoon into 4 jars. Seal jars and refrigerate overnight. Top with 1/2 cup strawberry jam, sliced banana, and chopped peanuts. And from Better Homes and Gardens, herb roasted shrimp. From start to finish, 30 minutes. We need 1.5 pounds fresh or frozen jumbo shrimp, 14 to 16 per pound, thawed if frozen, peeled and deveined. 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 teaspoons lemon juice, 2 cloves garlic minced, 1 teaspoon chopped fresh marjoram or oregano, 1 teaspoon chopped fresh thyme leaves. Preheat oven to 375 degrees. Pat shrimp dry, arrange in a single layer in a 15 by 10 inch baking pan. Drizzle with the olive oil and lemon juice. Sprinkle with garlic, marjoram, thyme, and 1 teaspoon salt. Roast uncovered 8 to 10 minutes or until shrimp are opaque. Serves 8 for appetizers. And from Good Housekeeping, pandemic protocol. Dating and relationship coach Jennifer Wexler offers advice to help you navigate friends and family members' various opinions on masks, social distancing, and how to manage when getting together divides us. First, don't rationalize it. You don't have to argue or defend how you feel. You'll be more confident if you state your case firmly and calmly. 2. Know your boundaries. Set your own standards for social outings. You might feel okay seeing family outdoors, but not indoors, or close friends, but not others. Decide in advance where your line is. Stick up for yourself. Be vocal about your comfort level. It's okay to decline an invite or suggest an alternative that makes you feel safer. Real pals will respect your approach. And reevaluate as needed. If you accept an invitation and later reconsider, it's fine to change your plans. Allow your loved ones to do the same. From Real Simple, a Zen-like bathroom retreat. Skip the spa and head right to your own at-home oasis with inspiration from designer Eva Holbrook. She created a blissful bathroom in the Santa Cruz, California cabin she shares with her partner by pairing natural materials like polished cement flooring, a teak mat, and a woven pendant light with super soft textiles. Placing a vintage clawfoot tub in front of 2 large windows offers a clear view of nature, enhancing the room's relaxing atmosphere. When we are soaking here, it feels as though we are floating within the forest, she says. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Have a great day.